Welcome, everybody. I'm Sig Neutron.
And I'm Rani Agogo.
And we're here for another Ransig episode. This isn't one in the series of our weekly spiritual tips, but this is just kind of one where we're just we're going to talk about spiritual practices in general. And what do I mean by that? Well, what we're learning is that no matter your theology, your religion, it all starts to boil down to how you manipulate and transmute energies. And whether you're a Wiccan or if you practice Hinduism, it comes down to these core universal energies. And whatever works for you is what works for you. So it doesn't make... The Hindu gods aren't any more real than the Christian god, or they're all the same energies. It just depends on what name you want to label them, how they manifest in your life, how they come to you, and what makes sense for your life. So we're just going to do a brief overview of like spiritual practices.
And spiritual awakenings.
Yep, and kind of talk about what we do and what works for us, and maybe it'll help inspire you, because I think a lot of people are stuck in this old way of thinking where... If you use some like practices from Hinduism, then you have to be, you know, Hindu. But that's not really the case. You can make your own rules. You can take little bits of everything and see what works for you to create your own ritual and your own spiritual practice.
Follow what resonates with you, and it'll change throughout your life.
Mm-hmm. And what I'm learning is, as an irreverentist, I learn about all these different theologies and religions, and then I can speak to people of these different religions in a scope that we both can have an understanding, because I have a broad view of everything. So, you know, it's we'll talk about that too. But basically what it all boils down to is that this existence is way big enough for me to live my truth and for you to live yours, and neither of us are wrong. I'm Sig Neutron.
And I'm Rani Agogo.
And this is Ransig Sputron.
Sig Neutron. Sputron.
Sig Neutron. Sleazy Sputron.
All right, this is going to be a fun episode. But first, I want to remind you guys that Rani and I have a Patreon.
Yep.
So what's on our Patreon? Well, and what is a Patreon? If you don't know, it's something where you can subscribe to us for, you choose your denomination every month, and it helps support us and keep creating content to share with you guys. And we have years of old content that has never been released, funny videos, funny lip syncs and makeups,
Weird, wacky photo shoots that are kind of like a bizarre, sexy twist to them.
Yeah, we got even like some sexy boudoir shoots, both in makeups and outside of makeups. And
you get to see Sig's tits.
Yep, that might be a thing.
Maybe.
But also, in addition to all that wacky fun stuff, because we like to keep it fun, and, you know, now we have added the spiritual element to our lives, so... In addition to all the fun stuff, you get notes of these podcast episodes. We'll like write out a little outline for, you know, tips on, you know, the main key points of certain episodes. You get access to Rani's recipes.
Mm-hmm.
You make...
like Florida water and cleansing recipes, how to make candles, possibly. We'll see.
Yeah, we're going to have fun with it. And we're also going to listen... Yeah, we listen to you guys and see what you want. And we kind of... We make this like fun little packet of a weird bizarro go-go packet like every week, or yeah, just a little bit of fun stuff to dump in there every week. And then, yeah, we're going to turn it into something fun, and it's a good way to interact with us, and we're going to keep integrating more and more things. Oh, as if we get enough Patreons, we're going to pick one every month to get a bone reading, bone divination from Rani.
Yeah.
So that's also exciting. And then as we get more, we'll probably pick more winners for that too. But, you know, it's all, we're going to grow with the Patreon. So, it's patreon.com/Ransig.
And now Ransig.
Yep. All right. So on the docket today, we are talking spiritual practice.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So, as I've said before, spirituality is very, very personal, and the only problem with this day and age of diving into religion and theology is that it's become such a hot button topic because everybody's like, no, my God's right and your God is wrong. This is conditioning that we're trying to work towards, unconditioning people to think that way, because it's all universal energies and they're all here to help us. They're also here to hinder us. But if you start knowing the rules of the game, you can better play the game and you can live a better life. You can become the best you that you can.
Yeah. People have such a 3D way of thinking of, of God. And it's so, such a vast... there's such a vast history when it comes to the gods and the deities and working with them. It's kind of absurd to just think of one form of reaching spirituality when there's so many different religions throughout the world. So,
And the way that we like to explain this is that all of the world's main religions are actually just pieces of an entire story of, the gods' interactions with mankind. So different gods interact with people at different places of the world, but it's all in this one giant story of the gods. And if you start connecting the pieces and you look at the timeline, you can see that it all runs together. So really it just boils down to what speaks to you and what...
Mm-hmm. What's practical for you,
mm-hmm.
What feels right. It's all about trying to harness specific feelings that evoke... a higher power.
Yeah. And here's the thing too, is a very important key thing to remember when it comes to spiritual practices, is that the gods grow and change and learn with mankind too, because otherwise what would be the point of their existence? If they already knew everything, seriously, think about it. What would they have to do? That would be almost like a hell experience if they just knew everything and had nothing to learn.
Yeah, just listening to all these assholes asking them for shit. Like, come on.
So, and also, as we develop culturally and technologically, we have to update our practices and update the way we think about the gods and interact with them. So, this is a big key point that a lot of people will call it blasphemous to stray from the teachings of the past. But you know what? It's kind of the whole point of human civilization is progress.
Yeah, we don't wear the same uncomfortable ass shoes that they wore in the 1300s.
Yeah,
we don't eat the same garbage that was eaten in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
We
have completely different lifestyles and we have to tailor our practices to fit in with our lifestyles. So
1300s in the 50s, I don't know, just pulled that out of my ass. yeah,
I didn't even question it. I don't know. I was like, okay, cool. Okay. You got me. So what we want to do is, because some people will be like, where do I even start? And what we want to do is kind of walk you through kind of what we do and see if any of what we do resonates for you. And if it doesn't, that's fine. But maybe you could just take little tidbits and stuff. But what's most important is that it works for you and you truly believe in what you're doing.
Yeah.
So how do we, what are our spiritual practices?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
I'm just kidding.
You're the only person here.
I kind of zoned out. Can we just pause it for a second? So what are our spiritual practices?
Yeah, so our spiritual practices. Here's a perfect example, is that Randy and I went through a spiritual awakening together, but now as we've learned and grown and changed, we have two very different set of spiritual practices, but we work with the same energies. Mm-hmm. So I'll let Randy explain her spiritual practice, and then I'll explain mine, and then we'll explain why ours is different.
So basically, I work with all these different deities who represent the elements: fire, earth, air, water, lightning, the underworld. Now, as we're coming into shadow season, I actually have altars for all these different energies. I believe I have 8 altars in this house now.
Mm-hmm.
One for water and fire, and they're all in their different locations. But I basically just work with these energies to manifest and to balance my life. If I feel too energetic or buzzy, I'll start working with earth and I'll work in the garden. If I feel you know, to, if I feel like confused, then I'll work with more air, because if sometimes I get like, or too emotional, you know, I'll work with air to kind of balance things out. So I work with these deities and they all represent different elements. And I've taken deities from, you know, the African religion, like the Yorubans, the Voodoo, and also Hindu gods that I work with. Really, a lot of these energies came to me at different points during this spiritual awakening that I've had. So I pretty much just welcome a lot of these benevolent energies, and they all have their own lessons to teach me.
And they all have their own personalities, yeah, and sense of humor.
Yeah, Papa Legba would like to probably claim that he's the funniest, and I would believe him.
And again, Papa Legba, you know, I think we'll start doing specific deity episodes too.
Yeah, that's fun. I feel like Papa Legba really wants an episode, yeah, like soon.
And if you, so Papa Legba is, you always find him at the crossroads of decisions. And he's the messenger of the gods. He's how you get in contact. He opens the doors of communication. Mm-hmm. He's like Hermes. He's synonymous with Hermes in, mm-hmm, Greek.
Mercury.
In Mercury. So, you know, he's a benevolent trickster.
Yes.
He will
give you many options and sit back and watch you succeed or, you know, fumble a little bit.
But he knows one thing's for sure. You're going to learn lessons either way.
Yes.
So, and that's what's important, is learning.
Yes. He teaches many, many lessons, and I'm grateful to have him.
Mm-hmm. He loves riddles, too. And so he's,
yeah, and pickles.
Yeah.
We'll get to that when we talk about him. Okay, never mind. This is going to be the Papa Legba episode.
All right. Also, I mean, to plug Papa Legba again, we sell on our Etsy, etsy.com/bizarrogogo, with Papa Legba, little Papa Legba statues for your altar.
Mm-hmm. And also offerings to him, too. Like, it comes with a candle and little things that you can give him so you can work with his energies. Mm-hmm. He's a good base deity to work with because he helps you access other deities, mm-hmm, and your ancestors and things like that.
And so I think it's actually good that we're talking about him right now because, again, yeah, he opens the doorways. And when all this started, we were kind of just solely working with Papa Legba. But he, yeah, was the one that made himself known.
Yes, and then he started saying he was everyone and he started causing a little bit of confusion. But that was, you know, it was all part of us learning. Yeah. Yeah.
But if baseline here, you want to get more spiritual and you want to start interacting with the universe, you can just start by just, like, essentially prayer is that you think in, mm-hmm, your mind and project your thoughts to the universe. If you don't know who to talk to, you can just think of the universe and ask for help, guidance, things like that. And even that, like, there are energies hear your thoughts. So, mm-hmm, just the power of prayer alone, that's a very basic way to start interacting.
Yep. Or you can try to pray to your ancestors because your ancestors are very close to you and they can help you with accessing source energies. But we could talk about ancestors in another episode, but that is, mm-hmm, definitely a big part of spirituality is working with your ancestors.
Mm-hmm. And there are ways to work with them much safer and much, you know, like clearer channels, because there's a lot of healing work because we have a lot of traumas in our past. We, mm-hmm, lived through, like, our families and our lineages have lived through wars and, you know, lots of trauma. And sometimes that sticks in the line.
Yeah.
And you feel it to this day. That's, it can explain, like, health issues and mood swings. So just working with ancestors alone, even if you don't attempt to work with the universal deities, mm-hmm, on a direct level, like, that's good too. And, yeah. But, I mean, here's the thing.
There's nothing wrong with honoring your lineage, you know,
because, yep,
that's a part of you. So I think it sometimes with some people, it's a lot easier for them to connect with their lineage, mm-hmm, unless they feel... And don't think about your, like, more recent lineage if, you know, you have very religious family members who
don't
probably
get along with them.
Yeah, if you can think back to, like, ancient, you know,
like
ancient Egypt,
times,
or, you know, like, you really have a lot of ancestors that you can call to.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so here's the thing, is that these universal energies and your ancestors and stuff, all of these forces are at work on your life whether you believe in them or not.
Yep.
They create your experience of life. And your experience is completely tailored to you. So everything that happens to you in life, there is a cause and effect and there's a reason for it. There are no coincidences. So it's up to you to decide how much you want to work in depth. So this is where reverentism comes into play. So Rani has explained her practice, and she works very deeply with and on a deeper level with specific deities and energies because yes. she does divining. Yes. And
I do, you know, I offer them energy through candles and intention and things like that. Mm-hmm. So
with her practice, she has a need to actually learn the different energies and interact with them on a separate basis. Some people, you don't need to actually go that deep. Like, whereas my practice, I'm like sort of, I go a little bit deeper, but this is where the irreverentism happens, is that on the surface, like I said, spirituality is practicality. And if you're just making good, we all know in our gut feeling, we know if we're doing, like, if we're drinking too much or if we're just making bad decisions, we know. And if we're really honest with ourselves, we know how to better our lives and what we should take. You know, sometimes we get stuck in some real dark places, but for the most part, generally, we know what we need to be doing to take care of ourselves and achieve our goals, you know, putting in the work. That alone is just working towards your goal and following your heart. That alone is working with all the energies that are there for your own good, your ancestors, any of the deities that are around you. Usually your personality attracts the deities that share personality traits with you. So, but again, you don't, like Rani had I think you were channeling a message from Ogu or Shango, and you said that, does the painter need to know all the ingredients of the paint to make a masterpiece or something like that? Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, that's fucking deep, dude.
Yeah.
You know, like Ogu energy, he's like very fiery. He's very big brother energy to me.
Mm-hmm.
Very wise and powerful. He always has great
and
advice.
And intense, yes.
Yeah, intense. Yeah, he's scary. But like, yeah. You know, in a like you just don't want to fuck with him kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when he's on your side, it's like, okay, good.
Yeah.
but... and it's true, to live your life to the fullest, you don't need to know all of the ingredients of the paint. And think of all the ingredients of the paint as the deities. You're here on this plane to paint a masterpiece. And if you're focused and you follow your heart, then you will paint that masterpiece and it'll be great. But sometimes we get confused and we need a little guidance, we need a little help. So that's when you can actually start to work a little bit deeper with these entities. And if it helps you collect your thoughts and manipulate energy and become more passionate and get unstuck in life, then it works. And you should, like, it's up to you how deep you want to work with it, the mm-hmm. spiritual
whatever
realm.
Resonates with you and whatever is practical for you, because not everyone has time to study the elements and these energies, but you know, they can still put themselves in a mindset to invoke certain feelings like of gratitude or the need for help.
Mm-hmm. And they're all elemental. And the thing is that people need to learn too, is that elements, they're also not just literal elements. They also have like sort of intangible properties. Like what are the, like water is emotion.
Yeah. Emotion and the subconscious, and air is intellect.
And communication.
And communication, right. Yes.
Fire is
like transformation and strength,
passion,
courage, passion, yeah. Creativity.
Mm-hmm. And then earth is
grounding and like the grandfather energy, ancestral energy.
Mm-hmm. So you can look at this, if we just break it down to elements, say your every day of your life, you're just super emotional. You're just like ups and downs, emotional, and you cry all the time. You don't even know why. It's possible you could have way too much water energy,
mm-hmm.
and you're not balancing out the water
yeah.
energy.
And to balance that out, you would go what is opposite of emotions, which is intellect, and you would go to air.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you do with air? You breathe. You try to think of things from a higher perspective. Think of a bird flying. There are different ways to think of these elements too.
Yeah. So when you go to the air, and then so to put this on just a practical level, if you're really emotional, maybe you need to spend some time in like introspective and like really doing some self-reflecting and really think about why you're so emotional, because then you're employing the element of air and intellect, because you're using reason to work through your emotions. So it's like, see, there's many layers to this,
yeah.
and it's like, it's pretty magical, man, and
yeah.
and everything is connected. But so If looking, that's a spiritual practice in itself. If you just want to think of the four elements and learn about the elements, then you'll know where you need to balance in your life. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if you're not grounded enough, if you feel too heads in the clouds, you're too fiery, you work too hard or you're too passionate, then maybe you just need to go out and chill in nature, like plant your feet
on the
ground.
Put your feet in the dirt,
yeah,
like touch a tree.
No shoes, no socks. Yep. And just
touch the earth. People forget to touch the earth, and it is important. And I'm not talking about concrete. I'm talking about dirt, the ground. Touch Mother Earth. Touch grass. It's important. Trees and plants.
Spending some time in nature is so important. And
why so many people are anxious all the time.
Yep. And if you live in a big metropolis city, like we live in LA, like it can be tough, but find the little pot, go to a park,
Go to the beach, earth at the beach, you know, and you'll get water and earth.
Mm-hmm. So you have to start thinking of how to like balance. And again, if you think you're too busy, and you're not like, you don't want to make time for it, you can make like an hour, 30 minutes to just go, or like,
so many practical ways, like thinking about fire, light a candle, air, light some incense and blow it around. There are so many practical ways that you can work with the elements. You just have to use your imagination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point. If you need more fire and passion in your life, light a candle. You're actually, the element of fire is near you, and you've lit that candle, mm-hmm. and imagine that you're lighting your own fire with that candle.
Another way to work with earth, you can, you know, have crystals. Working with crystals is a great way to work with earth energies. Gardening, things like that.
I'll tell you, since we started raising our vibrations, I can hold a crystal, and people think this crystal stuff is hokey, but I'm here to tell you guys, 100%, if you start like paying attention, I can feel the different vibrations of crystals when I hold them.
Yeah, crystals have a lot of lessons that they can teach us. Like, you can weekly work with, you know, once a week, work with a different crystal and try to harness and channel their energies.
And here's the thing I want you guys to think about. Quartz is used in microchips for processors to store data, computer data. So if you are always with a crystal or something, it's absorbing the data of the experience that is around you. It's storing that data. It's storing those experiences. And wherever
quartz.
Yeah. And wherever that stone's been before, it stores stuff. It's like there's science behind that.
Yeah. Sometimes we have to cleanse our stones, like mm-hmm. when you buy it from like one of those weird shady little shops.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I gotta cleanse these guys.
Just think of them as little sponges, you know? But mm-hmm. also when you clear out the sponge, they become like, they
work with you.
Yeah, they increase your vibration.
Yeah.
So that's a good point. Like, so since we've adopted, so if you look at it, I was just saying the other day that Christianity is interesting because it kind of took out all of the spiritual practice stuff and left you with the just submit to God and ask him and he'll help you. And that is absolutely 100%. You can do that. I'm not shit talking Christianity at all. I want to make that very clear. What I want to posit though and get you to look at it a different perspective is that there are all of these other religions like Hinduism and things like that actually teach you practices of meditation. And meditation was actually early Christianity. You don't know this, but it's been removed. There was Gnosticism and Hermeticism, actually all kind of in Christianity developed all around the same time. But so there are practices that mainly, I think one of the biggest goals for us here on Earth is to transmute ourselves through the process of alchemy and raise our vibrations. And that's a lot of things where we deal with our emotions. We think about how we interact with people, how we take care of our bodies. It's a whole holistic experience. Yeah.
And it's important because even if you don't think that you're significant, you are a part of the whole. And as you heal yourself and you project good energy from yourself, that sends ripples through the universe, through the world. And
powerful ripples.
Yeah. And you know, I kind of get like, it irks me when I see people saying they need more than prayer or they need more than, you know, certain things. And then it makes people feel helpless, you know, but prayer does work. If you're setting your intention and you're sending that energy out, you are sending ripples that make ripples of change. And it might not even go noticed to you, but just know that if you really set your intention to something, it happens.
And
so stop saying Yeah, some things do need more than prayer. But if you can't do anything and all you can do is pray or hold space for something, then do it. Don't feel helpless.
Yep. And I think a lot of that negativity surrounding that has a little bit come from Christianity because it just got a bad rap, man. And then all the really hardcore Bible thumpers, you know, it's everybody when they straight Christianity scared a lot of people from spirituality.
But Christians do believe in prayer.
I mean, no, I know, but I'm saying they scared a lot of people from spirituality.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what happened to me. It was like I was into it, but then for me, and I'm not trying to rag on Christianity, but
I believe in Jesus and the Holy Spirit.
Like 100%.
Jesus energy is. Stewed to perfection. It's man who kind of fucked up Christianity.
Yeah, and it like you could literally even if you just like pray to Jesus, like Jesus energy hears you and Jesus energy is there.
Mm-hmm.
Like
I've felt Jesus's energy and it's so nice, so calming.
And I think that Jesus was a bodhisattva. It's souls that have achieved enlightenment and then they come back to help mankind.
Yeah, and then he got fucked by man.
I know. They're like, oh, this fucking guy is vibrating way too high. We shouldn't be allowed to heal people with our hands.
What is this magic he's fucking doing? Healing people.
Yeah, really all
people
he was doing.
People couldn't handle it.
Yeah, he was raising his vibrations and trying to show people the way. And they're like, fuck that guy. He needs to die.
Yeah, and this could be a good segue into spiritual awakenings. But, I mean.
Well, I think my original point was that people, it scared me away from prayer, too.
Yeah.
Because prayer, I thought, was just a specifically Christian thing.
Yeah.
But opening up a dialogue with the universe and connecting with it on a universal level is not just reserved for Christianity.
No, not at all.
So start, even if at the very base level, if you want to start trying to be more spiritual, just start praying. You know, you don't have to pray to anything in particular. Just speak your truth and speak your heart to the universe, and it will hear you. And you'll be surprised. And then pay attention because it will start manifesting in your life.
Mm-hmm. Energy and intent, and then watch it happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Especially you couple this, and it's all about like a coupling. You couple your prayer with the, you know, what we talked about in the other episode of spiritual cleaning. And then you couple that with, you know, maybe a. Like, yeah, the elements and stuff, working with the elements, trying to balance
lighting
out
lighting a
life.
Candle, things like that. It's energy. It's
eating
all
healthy.
About energy.
Yep. And I'm serious. This sounds crazy. But since they've had us on track of, like, basically raising our vibrations, we go out and we, like, check out at places and we vibrate so high. This isn't me trying to sound like we're better or anything like that. I'm just telling
it's
you guys.
It's real life stuff that happens.
Yeah, this is a legit observation, and I wouldn't say it if it hasn't happened multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
So we go and we're checking out, and our cashiers, they get like almost befuddled.
Yeah.
They get like confused for a second because they're feeling our
vibrations.
Yeah,
they'll look me in the eyes, and they're just like, I'm like, almost like I'm glamoring them, and they'll accidentally not charge us for things or.
Yeah, or the,
you know,
they'll just kind of like, we see them like staring blankly for
things,
a second.
Dropping and, things. It's
yeah,
funny.
We went to the restaurant and like. We were with one of our friends, Christopher Ulrich. And
you know, he has a lot of great energy, too.
Yeah,
so.
And we were all sort of... And when you're with people that are in tune and vibrating higher, you're all mirrors and you reflect each other's energy. So we felt it at the table. We were vibrating, like, so high.
And we were sitting right next to Shiva, which was, like, amazing.
And that's a good segue into that story that I want to tell. We went to the Taste of India in Burbank. And the
workers are so nice.
Yes, they were so amazing. So this is a shout-out to the Taste of India.
Burbank, yep.
Definitely go there. And it's funny because we went in and we immediately had a connection with the workers there. And you can tell that they all have a spiritual practice. They're wearing turbans. There's deity statues everywhere. And there was something just unspoken that the guy, he just saw us and he was like, he just got it. And then he guided us to a table that was right by Shiva, who had been interacting with Shiva energies recently, which was really funny.
Yeah, it's very interesting that he sat us. There's deities through the whole restaurant, but he sat us at the table with a deity that we were recently working with, all three of us.
So. Yeah, and he just, the look in his eyes, he just, and then you truly start to, it's like a form of telepathy. You start to feel the emotions of other people. And you know, you guys have experienced this out here yourselves. If your boyfriend or girlfriend is like pissed off and stewing and they're in the same room as you, even if they don't say anything, you can feel that. I know that you have all experienced this here before. So the more you start raising your vibrations, the more that actually you can utilize that and pay attention to that. And empaths are very good at, about it. You're feeling the someone else's energy, mm-hmm. and you're
at the, well, sometimes they're not good at it. That's another subject. Empaths feel other people's emotions, so they need to learn how to.
Right, good at it meaning yeah. they can feel it, but they yeah. might not know how to harness it.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, using it well and feeling it are two mm-hmm. different things. But so, yeah, if you start developing a spiritual practice, it starts to raise your vibrations. And what they've told us is all consistency is key. And that's why a lot of religions have daily religious rituals of prayer or, you know, doing a thing, because it puts your mind in a state of you're paying attention and you're channeling your intent into something of raising your vibrations and your spirituality. And just like our bodies that we have to work out our minds and our spiritual muscles. Because the more we put intent into them, the more that it grows and the more results that you'll see. You might not see results when you first start raising your vibrations, but I'm telling you, man, it's magic.
Yeah.
And it's like so apparent in your life. And the problem is that to this day and age, nobody believes in it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because we think science is God now. But it's like science is just... It's a tool for explaining the unexplainable, you know, or spirituality explains the unexplainable, but science gives us, you know, it's science and religion can, or theology, spirituality can go hand in hand, because
yeah.
that's where it started back in the day. And then it split, and now quantum physics is bringing it right back to where it was before, as spirituality and science together. Whew.
Yeah.
I went on a little bit of a rant there.
Yeah. So, where were we?
We were talking about spiritual practice. Oh, I never even got to my spiritual practice.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, so Rani works deeper with them because she needs to. That's necessary.
I do divinations, and I am a spiritual healer, so
mm-hmm.
I have to, well, I feel I have to, and it makes mm-hmm. sense to me, and it has, I just feel that my life and my body has changed just on a cellular level, just working with these energies. It mm-hmm. makes sense to me.
Yeah. And so my spiritual practice is Rani helped me get in touch with the deities and the energies that have been working with me since I was a kid, or since I was born, but I didn't know. And once I became consciously aware of these energies, I was able to work more directly with them. I don't have to know them, but it helps. So I have a core set of energies, deities that I work with, and it helps me, again, it helps me focus my intent, because each one of them, you know, like, so I work with Shango. So he's all about like lightning quickness. And if I got a project and I really got a...
That's what helped you win Face Off, isn't it?
Maybe. It's very possible, because I wasn't aware of this back then. But if I need to do something quick and efficient, then I channel Shango energy. I ask, you know, can you help me out with some get shit done energy? And you know, and I feel it. I feel like, man, it's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
You have to ground yourself after working with Shango, because
yep.
he is electricity.
And Shango is also synonymous with Zeus or Odin. So, if yeah. And then, you know, Ogu energies, he's very wise. And sometimes when I feel stuck or something, he clears the way. That's part of what Ogu does.
Yep.
So
burns right through that path for you.
Mm-hmm. So I think about Ogu, and I've gotten to the point where I hear them too, on a different, not as directly as Rani, but they speak to you in a language of like your heart. You just kind of know it. You just get a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get specific worded messages in my head, but sometimes it's just a feeling. And I know that that's them, you know, it's the feeling coupled with the context of the situation that I'm experiencing. But, yeah. And then I work with, like Maman Brigitte and Baon Samti, because like I'd work with like, do like creature work and stuff. So it helps like, you know, like channeling darker energies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's,
they keep the dark energies in check.
Yeah. Because a lot of dark artists, they're also very dark people, because they're constantly channeling these dark energies, but they don't have a practice to release it
mm-hmm.
or protect themselves from it, so they become enveloped by their work.
Yeah.
And so it's very important if you're a dark artist or you channel dark themes, sometimes it's important to have a practice to protect yourself from the energies that you channel. Mm-hmm. Because again, it's all about transmuting and energy. So you channel these dark themes and you bring them into being, but sometimes they stick with you. So I have an altar, and I recommend if you want to go a little deeper into the spiritual realm, besides just prayer or, you know, working with elements, I recommend getting an altar and having a little spot for your ancestors.
It could be a little shelf on top of a little desk or something.
Basically just a little sacred space for you to put a couple, you know, whether it's a stone or a little sculpture.
It could be like the elements. You can have like a candle. You can have, you know, some incense and like a little perfumed water, things like that. That's getting really into it, but like, yeah, it could just be a statue or a home, or a home for spirits to reside.
And maybe if you've, like, sometimes a lot of people are into deities and mythologies. Maybe you've been really into certain deities, and this whole time they've actually been working with you.
Yeah.
And they're trying, the reason why you're way into them is because, like, they work with you. So if you feel really strongly about a particular entity or deity, you can have a little statue or a little picture of them and like pray to them, or, you know, like if you don't want to think of it as prayer, just think of it as telepathically sending a message, you know, because people, again, they get scared of the word prayer because it's kind of been ruined, but,
or shout out like, hey,
it doesn't have to be this. This is one of the most profound things I think I learned when I started working with them, is that yes, you want to speak to them with respect, but it doesn't have, that doesn't mean it has to be some rigid, like, thank you, Lord, for your, you know, it's like you can casually talk to these energies, and, and they have senses of humor, and they're like, you know, like,
as long as you're taking it seriously and your intent is pure, then you're not disrespecting them, you know.
I just think of them as super.
Some gods, you have to kind of talk to them in a specific way, but
that's true.
For the most part, any regular person who's just trying to get into spirituality wouldn't be trying to tap into some, like, crazy.
Yeah, there are more advanced
energies.
Work. There are, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is like, now that we're telling you this, like, if you want to go and like start channeling some energies and stuff, that is totally up to you. But I do recommend exercising caution, because like, you know, it's real, basically. Just have respect for the fact that it's real.
It's very real. And you can fuck yourself up if you go into working with certain energies blindly.
Yeah.
That's why I say Papa Legba, yeah, go ahead, because he's totally chill.
And he's like, basically you're working with Papa Legba
to
all the
help
time,
and
anyways.
Yeah, and he will help you find who you need to find.
Yeah. So if you don't want to think of just the universe when you're asking for things, you can actually just light a candle to Papa Legba and say, Papa Legba, I really need some help. Can you open the doors? Like, help me get through this time in life. I need some guidance. I need this or that. And he passes that message on to a deity that will help you.
Yeah. It was interesting because in the beginning of all this, he would be like, okay, for this, Papa Legba wants some gold flowers and some gold and red flowers. And the next thing you know, like, I'll have like a fire deity that I'm working with. And I didn't really put the clues together until, like, you know, it's like, oh, this week Papa Legba wants some pink and white flowers, and it's like, okay. And then it's like I was working with feminine goddesses, you know, so it took me a while to realize it, but I'm like, oh, Papa Legba is just asking for things so he can help me call down certain gods and goddesses. It's really interesting.
Yeah. I was just saying today, too, because it's shadow season and we're starting to work with some of the darker entities. And again, when I say shadow or dark entities, I don't mean good and evil, because good and evil is a very gray concept.
Yes.
When you start looking big picture, like the entire cosmos and stuff, it's not as simple as good and evil.
Yeah, everybody has a shadow. Remember that.
But now that it's shadow season, this, you know, this other entity, Kuan Yin or Chen Rezik, like I had felt this presence before, but now it's become more active lately, and I realized she's helping me deal with people that that they're expressing their shadow
upon
me. They're
projecting their shadow onto you.
And she is helping me to, rather than project back at them, actually just channel my feelings of compassion, because Kuan Yin or Chen Rezik, they're the embodiment of compassion. And they truly care about mankind in all forms. So it's just this really warm, magical, compassionate feeling. And then when I think of that energy, then it helps me, like the episode where I talked about the guy, where we were having a disconnect and he was like the Bible thumper. I channeled her energy and it helped me solve that problem. And we actually came to an understanding. So,
and her energy is very similar to Christ's energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Cause that's why I call it, cause she's a bodhisattva too. So it's these energies that could just stay in the material plane, or I mean, not the material plane, the next plane, whatever that may be. They could totally do that, but they hear the cries of mankind and they want to come back and show us the way. That's mm-hmm. what Jesus was trying to do in the flesh. And well, we know that story, but mm-hmm. so I guess, yeah, to sum up a lot of things is if you've ever had a particular interest in any kind of deity, theology, something, like, do a little experiment. Learn a little bit about the religion. Again, learning is an act of self-love. And, like, doing some reading and getting to... And this is also, like, you can also work with, like, the Lucifers and the Satans and stuff. Like, it's
yeah,
not...
if that energy resonates with you, then go for it. Yep. Like, just don't think of, like... Don't think 3D again, or don't think about the Bible and think, oh, Lucifer, or, like, you know... Satan are just evil.
Because we work with Lucifer and Satan energies, and they're not what you think, man.
Yeah. They believe in self, and they actually have taught us how to harness specific energies without groveling to certain gods, you know? Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing is, like, Lucifer, he's about pride, and yes, unchecked pride can be a terrible thing, but so can unchecked fire, the fire god or the lightning god. If it's fire is running rampant, you're going to have a problem. It's all about how you balance these energies.
Mm-hmm.
And having a humble sense of pride and belief in yourself is a very powerful thing. And it's a very good thing. And Lucifer, he's taught us a lot about that. Like, you know what? Like, believe in yourself. And that's what I've been about through history. But, you know, history has sort of written what they've written about Lucifer and the darker energies. But, you know, you gotta start thinking bigger picture here and realize that maybe some things have a bad rap that actually that's not what they're about at all.
Yep.
So we touched on this back in episode 29 about our own spiritual awakening, but we want to, revisit the topic and talk a little bit more in depth about... what does a spiritual awakening feel like? What is it?
Yeah, I mean, basically, when you're going through a spiritual awakening, you'll know it. And don't think that you're fucking crazy.
Well, that's the thing is, you kind of won't know it because you don't expect it.
But well, yeah, I guess so. I mean, you'll probably feel like you're going crazy.
Because we didn't know what it was. We thought you were just channeling some ghosts from New Orleans.
That's true. But not everyone's going to have a spiritual awakening like mine. Sometimes it's an out-of-body experience. Sometimes they'll have visions. Sometimes it happens during a trip on mushrooms or something. But mm-hmm. And sometimes it happens just in nature. Mm-hmm. There are so many different ways of it happening, and just know that you're not crazy. I would say that one of the first things you'll want to do is, if it's safe, you know, try to contact people. But you have to practice discernment when you're sharing this knowledge, because people can get really weird. So if you have like super Christian family members and you're like, oh, I saw like a snake god and, you know, it felt really good, you're gonna scare the shit out of them.
Mm-hmm. And the problem is, once you're going through this spiritual awakening, you're going to question your own sanity a little bit, because we did. And if you tell the wrong people, they're going to only convince you that you're crazy.
Yeah. So you can always go online or, you know, try to find groups, because it's like so many groups now where you can find people who have had awakenings, or they mm-hmm. have had experiences similar to yours. There are a lot of people who are very open to spirituality now, because so many people are waking up, you guys. Mm-hmm. This is the year. A lot of people are waking up.
You can also share this podcast, because we're doing our best to relay our experiences and mm-hmm. try to help guide you guys, because I believe that that's a part of, you know, our path is, like, we're here to create and have fun, but also we're here to help other people as they become awake, because it's profound and it's crazy and it's magical and it's scary sometimes. Yeah. Like, don't think that it's not scary. We've been very scared plenty of times.
And I'm sure we'll be scared plenty more times. You know, we're still learning and we're mm-hmm. still growing, and that's part of the fun of life is that we're open to these new experiences, and you know, we're learning so much. And you know, if you have a spiritual awakening and you feel like you've seen things and you think you're going crazy, maybe you could write to us or something, because or Siggy has a cigarette pack.
Yep. So you can join on my Twitter at SigNeutron, I always have a tweet pinned at the top that has the invite link to the cigarette pack. We have emotional support channels. We have we talk irreverentism. We talk spiritual awakening. All kinds of great, awesome stuff. And the community there is really great. Mm-hmm. And I make sure it stays that way, because it's a very open community. We've had people share very deep experiences.
Yeah.
and nobody's an asshole, because
you have to find your pack, find your people, because even sometimes you'll have friends that you think are very open to it, and then they'll just kind of be weirded out. And don't let that weird you out. Just know that that doesn't mean that you can't get along with them. It just means they don't understand at that time. Mm-hmm. So you just find other people so they can help, you know, validate what you're going through.
And also email me, signeutron@gmail.com. We want to hear your story. And actually, ideally, I would love to discuss them on recording for the mm-hmm. podcast. So your story might help other people too, because we have to really support each other and we have to come together, because we're all going through some crazy changes. And I feel like it's only going to get crazier. And I don't mean that in a bad way.
Yeah, it's a good kind of crazy. Trust me, like I'm kind of plugging into this stream of information, and a lot of people are waking up now. So I just want people to know that you're not going crazy. Just find people who are waking up, and then other people in your life will, you know, might possibly, you know, start waking up when they're ready. But don't try to force your information down their throats right away. If it doesn't feel right, just wait.
Yep. And also, so your spiritual awakening is facilitated by your spirit guides and your energies around you. So as you start awakening, you're going to come to resources like our podcast or books or other people that are experiencing the same things too. Mm-hmm. So just start paying attention to the signs, and think that everything in your life is actually tailored to you, and it all has a meaning.
Yeah.
So just the best piece of advice I say when you're having a spiritual awakening is just start paying attention.
Yeah, pay attention.
Know that you have things looking out for you.
Uh-huh.
And just start following your gut and following your intuition.
The universe will show you, you know, who you can talk to and who you can't talk to, like at
I just had moment. it's so great. One of the listeners found my podcast by randomly thought about me for like hadn't thought about me in years, and looked me up, saw the post about me getting my post taken down, promoting my thing on Facebook, and they joined the cigarette pack, and they just immediately jumped into having all these topics, and they were like, hey, did you you may have already done this, but have you read the Kabbalion? And that was the exact day that I posted, like I had just posted on Twitter, the Kabbalion just arrived at my doorstep. And this person said that, yeah, man, your podcast showed up to me at the exact right time when I needed it, because like crazy things were happening, and it's exactly mm-hmm. when I needed it. So the universe will guide you to the resources you need and the people that you need. So just have faith, man.
Yeah. And write down your dreams.
Write down your dreams.
Take notes about
That's
what
a spiritual practice. Yeah. There you go.
Take note of what your dreams are very important. If you're not working with your dreams, you're only living half of your life, which is that's something one of the deities had told me. So it's good to keep track of your dreams, because your ancestors and your spirit guides they can contact you a lot more easier in dream state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also those messages are often encoded and they take some time to figure out. And also you could have a dream like a year ago that just somehow fits in and makes sense, and it's pertinent to like today.
Yeah.
So that's why you have to log it, because time isn't linear, and you get messages mm-hmm. in all kinds of out of order when you have dreams. Mm-hmm.
Recurring dreams, certain like things that you see in dreams a lot. Sometimes that's like the elements mm-hmm. trying to talk to you. Like if you see fish, it could mean water, you know.
Yep.
Also, things like that.
Look up a dream dictionary. Mm-hmm. Try to write down your dreams and then try to decipher them with a dream dictionary.
And doesn't your cigarette pack talk about dreams?
We also have a dream discussion
channel. So that's a good, like, if you're like, I'm perplexed. I don't know why I dreamed about, you know, pickles with human faces growing
pickles
in a...
again.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Papa Legba. No, so yeah, just try to find people who are ready to speak their truths, because you shouldn't be ashamed of speaking your truth. You just have to discern who you speak your truths to.
Yep.
So you don't feel alienated.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll become more comfortable once you start seeing other people who can relate to you. Then you can become more comfortable about opening up to other people, because you'll have, like, the proof that you're not going fucking bananas, you know?
Yep. Proof is in the pudding.
Yeah. Proof is in the people.
That's a good one, too.
Maybe.
Do we got anything else on spiritual practice?
I don't believe so.
We covered discernment. We covered spiritual awakenings. Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
I think that was a lovely talk.
Oh, one more note I wanted to add about my spiritual practice is that I do a little bit of the altar stuff, like rain. Oh, that's it. Yeah. So I tried doing exactly what Randy did. Every day I would light candles for the different deities and all this. I had this whole ritual planned out. But then by like after 2 weeks in, I felt like I was losing my mind and it just wasn't working for me. Mm-hmm. And then the deities were, it was my lesson. They were like, okay, you see, like, that works for Randy. It doesn't work for you, does it? And I was like, I thought I had to be doing this.
Yeah. And it's like, and it turns out I am a fire sign. So I love working with fire. And he's an air sign, so he probably was losing his goddamn mind lighting all these candles.
Yeah, like, yeah. And it was the ritual practice of it that was actually getting in the way of me actually succeeding. So, and I work with like energies like Shango and things. And basically, when I work and I put out like episodes of my podcast or art or something, that's me like working with the gods.
That's him honoring the gods, because he's honoring himself and his work.
And I'm honoring the gifts that they, you know, the energies that they bestow and channel, and I can, and they give me access to, you know. So it's
like, if you're a doctor and you don't have time to do ritual, then you doctor it up and you save those lives. You are honoring the gods, you know?
Exactly. Honoring yourself and
honoring your work.
Yep. And living your best life and striving for what you want out of life is honoring the gods and yourself. Because we're all connected and we're all one.
Yeah.
So the main point in life is that you learn and you grow.
And you be the best you that you can be.
Exactly. I mean, I can't think of a better ender than that.
Yeah.
Pretty good, right? Mm-hmm. Got anything else to add?
Nope. You can follow me at on Instagram at Raniagogo, RANNIEAUGOGO.
And you can follow me at SigNeutron on Twitter and Instagram. I'm on Twitch, twitch.tv/SigNeutron. We have a joint YouTube, youtube.com/BizarroAgogo. Like I said, join the cigarette pack by clicking the link at my pinned tweet at my Twitter. On Discord. Also, our Patreon. Patreon.com/RANSIG if you want to get all the extra fun goodies.
Yeah, weird photos and videos and recipes and whatever the fuck else we want.
Also, we're
going
to pick random winners every month to get a bone reading from you.
Yeah.
And all kinds of fun stuff.
If you want to know the truth.
Yep. So
you have to sign a waiver, because shit gets real when I throw the bones.
So, yeah. Patreon.com/RANSIG. We would definitely appreciate your support, and you'll get all kinds of fun stuff. And we're going to be adding more and more as it grows. It's kind of new. We're trying to figure it out, but I don't think you'll be disappointed with the stuff we're going to
And if you are disappointed, then you can fuck off.
What she said.
Yeah.
All right. Well, have a good night, everybody. And remember, stay weird.
Or good morning, or whenever you're listening to this.
That's true. Stay weird. Stay open-minded. If you're not paying attention, then you won't find it.
Good one.
Thanks.